Well, in the 15th chapter of Revelation, it says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. There are three divisions of seven in the book of Revelation. The number seven is a number meaning perfection. The number three is a number meaning finality or completion. Numbers do have certain meaning in Bible language, in biblical chronology, and in biblical symbolism. Almighty God established that, and you can see examples such as three times requesting of God a certain granting of a favor, a healing, as in the case of the Apostle Paul, and he got the final answer that it wasn't going to happen that way. The third time that Elijah prayed for the child of the widow, and it was finally healed. There are examples where three symbolizes finality. And we see the number six is the number of man. The number seven is the number of God or of perfection. Now here are three divisions of seven. There are seven seals John saw, sealing the entire scroll or the book of Revelation. And he sees those seals opened and then the information that is contained in that mysterious scroll, one after the other. When he opens the seventh seal, he sees seven trumpet plagues. And of those seven, he finally gets down to the last three, and they are called three woes. So the seventh seal is comprised of seven trumpet plagues, and the seventh of those is divided into seven last plagues. And it is at the end of the seventh of those last plagues that Jesus Christ stands on the earth. So the book of Revelation is actually developing a theme in three divisions of seven. So that's perfection and finality, or final perfection. And God's Word shows that the plan of Almighty God is finally going to come to its gigantic climactic conclusion, finally after the Battle of Armageddon with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the way the book of Revelation is written, remember, is the order in which John saw, the order in which he experienced, almost like a motion picture. Now, he sees these angels. In them is filled up the wrath of God, the seven last plagues. Next, he said, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. In the first chapter of Ezekiel and the 10th chapter of Ezekiel, when the prophet Ezekiel was given a view of the apparatus which transported the great being he knew was the God of Israel through the heavens, it was like a translucent sea of glass. It was like a huge, big platform made of crystal, of translucent glass-like material. Here again, you see that same vision. Apparently, before the very throne of God, there is such a huge platform. Now, the motion pictures could, through special effects and cinematography, show you something like that. It's like nothing you have ever seen. If you go into a huge, big public building, the nation's capital, a state capital, some big court building of some sort, you might see polished black marble floors. But you're not going to see one that you can see right through that appears to be sparkling, shimmering white crystal, almost like diamonds as far as the eye can see. Standing on that sea of glass, he said, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. Now, perhaps because of this vision, this may well be where the old story about people going to heaven and playing harps came from. This is again in symbol. It is a vision. And remember, chronologically, I remind you time and again that John wrote in the order in which he saw. Now, some people could have trouble with this verse because here they are seeing in the last chapter what it says about Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Babylon the Great, the Babylonian system of the economic, military, industrial system of great nations on this earth. Then we see the two harvests of the earth, the harvest for God and the harvest of the wrath of God, or the grapes of wrath that are trodden without the city. And we went through that in the last couple of programs. Now suddenly we see a little flash ahead. We see a view of what is to happen way on out in the future after, just after the second coming of Jesus Christ. And because you see it is here in the 15th chapter, and yet the last plagues are not enumerated until through the 16th chapter, then you have the inset chapter of the 17th, meaning the great fallen false religious system, Babylon the Great spiritually. The 18th chapter is Babylon the Great, physically, economically, and militarily. And then the 19th chapter shows the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the 20th chapter shows the beginning of the time of the millennium and the final great resurrection at the end. The 21st and 22nd are views of the holy city of God coming down to the earth. And because here and there you have insets, you have something which flashes ahead a certain period of time, and you have chapters which flash back to what might have happened earlier, people sometimes become a little bit confused about the chronological order. This is not telling you, because you see a vision here of those who have gotten the victory over the beast, over the image and the mark, the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, singing the song of Moses, obvious reference to Christians who are born of God by a resurrection from the dead, or, as the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is obvious reference to salvation. A picture, only a symbol, not that they're really going to stand there with harps in their hands. It's a picture of people being born of God, standing before the throne of God. Now it goes on to say that they sing the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. The Bible says over and over again that the law will go forth out of Zion. That doesn't fit with most religion, the way you've heard it. It just doesn't fit. God's law is ignored mostly today, and it is ignored more by people in religion, by people among the religious fraternities of this world, than any other part of the world. Yet it is the very laws of God that are going to be administered at the time of the millennium and the kingdom of God. It says the law will go forth out of Zion, that many nations will come and learn of the ways of the great king. In the 14th chapter of Zechariah, and of course in the 2nd of Isaiah, the 11th chapter of Isaiah, so many other chapters, it talks about the law going forth out of Zion. Revelation 15, verse 5. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts, or living creatures, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Revelation 15:8. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled.